We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My personality was to blame.
What the call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Hey, you see that Urban Meyer video?
Yo, I have not seen the video, no.
You saw the video. We all know you had to have seen that video, Joe. Come on. Anything else, Boomer, before we let him do his job?
I was just going to ask him about his defense.
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
If they do not get back into the playoffs, he does not live up to the hope and promise that he showed when he was at Alabama. It'll be time for a change down in Miami.
No question.
Well, Boomer's got a pretty quick hook, does he not?
It's that time of year. Man,
the numbers speak for themselves.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
Boomer Esiason with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
By way of the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Boomer, how's it going today?
Hey, Danny and Matt, good afternoon, man. How are you guys today?
You know, we're just thinking about what it would be like if Aaron Rodgers did, in fact, own the Bears instead of the McCaskey family. That's pretty much where we're at.
Would he build a good stadium in Arlington Heights? Probably. He might make better choices than them, you know?
Well, I mean, they did draft Justin Fields, and you guys are hoping for him, aren't you?
Yes, we are still optimistic about Justin Fields. Is he progressing in a week-to-week manner that you would like, even though it was just 14 points against the Packers?
Yeah, you know, they only had one three and out, so that's a good sign. He can play, there's no question about it. They had a couple plays where I'm sure when he looks at the tape, he'd want to have back, but you know, this is what happens when you play a rookie quarterback, guys. Not everybody is going to be, you know, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or when Lamar Jackson came in. You know, it's going to take time. The game is fast. It's a lot being thrown at him right now. And he goes from playing against the Green Bay Packers in a pretty decent defense, but really more importantly, an offense that's going to score, to another offense that's going to score this week and another tough defense, and that's Tampa Bay, and he's going to have to go on the road and do it. So this is the learning curve that these rookie quarterbacks have nowadays because, quite frankly, I don't necessarily know that they should be playing as much as they're playing. There's a lot on their plate, and you got to find out whether or not these kids can be the long-term solution. So you're right in the middle of it right now. This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted to see, and you know there are going to be growing pains, and the growing pains come in many different forms. And right now the Bears offense is basically stuck in neutral. They can't really score points. They're having a hard time scoring points consistently. And a lot of that goes back to the quarterback, as the quarterback is the one that drives the offense, of course.
We are in the middle of it, Boomer. So we're trying to figure out what should we be patient about? What could we be frustrated about as we watch the quarterback play? There was a play where Allen Robinson was streaking wide open down the middle of the field, clearly wide open, a blown coverage. And Fields didn't see him. After the game, he said, you know, a little abruptly to the media, frankly, that's not where my eyes are supposed to go. Appreciate you. Not, you know, and Matt Nagy defended him the next day and said the same thing. Is that reasonable that a rookie quarterback is not expected to see the number one wide receiver streaking wide open down the middle of the field? It was on a bootleg play. Is that them making excuses for him? Or what's your take on them defending him in that way?
Well, I'm actually assuming that that's not the first receiver in his progression. I'm assuming that the guy out in the flat is going to be the first receiver, and then the second receiver would be the one that was coming cross. And then if you're really aware and you're understanding the speed of the game and where the people are around you and having that sixth sense and feeling around where people are, then maybe you take a shot. You know, like you watch a lot of these games, like last night, Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. You know, sometimes they know when a free blitzer is coming, or sometimes they know. They just have that sixth sense, that intuition to get rid of the ball and find where people are. Again, remember, I'm just telling you that every weekend, it's a new weekend for Justin Fields. He's seeing a new set of circumstances in front of his eyes that he's never experienced before. And the infamous Sam Darnold a couple of years back on ESPN, "I'm seeing ghosts," happens to all rookie quarterbacks, and they're not really sure what they're seeing. And sometimes they get confused. Sometimes they think they see a player where a player's not. Sometimes it feels like there's 12 or 13 defenders on the field. So that's part of the growing process that you guys are frustratingly going through right now. So I read all of that, and I saw the specific play that you're speaking of, Matt. I would tell you that a seasoned Justin Fields that was at Ohio State when he was really comfortable on the field, most likely will make that play eventually. It's just not going to happen overnight. And it may even happen this week against them. They'll probably call the same play, and he'll look down the field, and maybe he'll trust what he sees, and they'll let the ball fly. So none of this is surprising me. I've been kind of telling you guys that there's going to be some really deep potholes and there's going to be some speed bumps. And I think that's exactly what's happening to Chicago right now.
What about the missed free play where he threw the interception? Certainly seemed to all of us like the ref blew the call. Rodgers is obviously the best ever at it. Rodgers, after the game, asked about it. He said that he actually will look and see that the flag has come out, which, I mean, I never played quarterback, but that seems like a huge ask of any player. Is on the free play mechanics, did Justin Fields mess that up by not confirming that a flag had been thrown, or is it okay to assume that the ref's going to get the call right?
Never assume. You know what happens with you assume, Danny.
Yeah,
And Aaron Rodgers is right. He will look for the flag, and Tom Brady will look for the flag, and all these quarterbacks that have been, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, they'll learn. They learn how to handle the field. They learn how to see things. They have peripheral vision. They're looking for flags. We used to run a no-huddle offense where we used to try to get a team with 12 men on the field. And if I could get somebody with 12 men in the field, I would see the flag first, and then I'd launch it down the field. But I didn't do that my rookie year. That came like in my third or fourth year. So asking Justin Fields to do what Aaron Rodgers says he does do, and I guarantee you he does it, it would be asking a lot of a rookie quarterback. He is just, again, I'm telling you, he's dealing with the speed of it. He's dealing with the schematics of it, not only his own offense, but what the opposing defenses are doing to him week in and week out. So it is a learning process. I know it's frustrating, but, you know, there are a lot of other teams that have gone through this, and you guys have gone through this a couple times now in the last 5 years. So it makes it even that much more frustrating.
Have you seen athletic quarterbacks who have some escapability and speed and some wiggle on the college level take a while to figure out exactly how they measure up athletically on the NFL level? Because Fields is taking a lot of sacks for a lot of yards, and I'm wondering if he is perhaps realizing that things are just a little bit different on this level in these kind of athletes.
Well, that's what he's learning, and it's not just about, you know, running away from sacks. It's about getting rid of the ball. It's about planting that back foot, reading the defense, going through your progressions, and getting the ball out in less than 3 seconds. And he's incapable of doing that right now. That doesn't mean he's going to be incapable of doing that next year. He'll make a huge leap from this year to next year. The one thing I will say, his experience that he's going through right now will definitely set him up for success next year. And he still may have even more success this year against some of the lesser teams, especially teams that are struggling against their Bears defense. And, you know, one of the reasons that they were able to beat Detroit was because the Bears defense was so spot on, and because the special teams play great. And I told you that in order to really support a young rookie quarterback, all the other facets of the teams have to work. And, you know, we're going to break down every pass. We're going to break down every decision he makes, all the progressions he's going through. And this is part of growing up in the NFL. You know, nobody feels sorry for you, I can tell you that. He wanted to be a first round draft pick. I remember, you know, when he was falling in the draft, everybody was screaming and yelling that you're falling. Hell, I fell into the second round. And I know that specifically how that feels and how, I don't say embarrassing it is, but just how demeaning it is when you think that you're better than you are. And then when you get there, you have to learn, and you have to learn on the run like he's doing right now. So I'm sure he's frustrated. I understand that John DeFilippo and Matt Nagy are going to stick up for their young quarterback. Hell, I bet you they're in their hearts, they know that he doesn't belong on the field, but because of the pressure that is there in Chicago to play the kid, they basically acquiesce to all of this. And now they're trying to play through it, and they're trying to look for the silver lining as to where he's doing things well. And that's what they're communicating to the fan base. So none of this is surprising at all to me.
We're talking to Boomer Esiason, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. What you said in there, though, Boom, about this is going to, he'll take the leap for next year, and this experience is valuable. That was the whole basis of my argument for playing him. I was like, they're not winning a Super Bowl with Fields or Dalton this year, so you may as well start the experience and the progression and all of that so that he doesn't have to have as many growing pains next year as he's having this year.
Yeah, well, I'll counter that argument by saying, you know, they could have started him in week 12. Let him be around, let him see it, let him feel it a little bit, give him a little taste of it, maybe in a blowout one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they're out of the playoffs, now all of a sudden you have five or six games left, let him play then. Let him see what it's like to practice. He's got two great guys to learn how to be pros, how to be a pro, and in Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, and those guys would be, and I'm sure they're supporting him, but I'm sure also they're sitting in the tape room and they're wondering why they're not playing, especially because of the struggles that I'm sure he's having. That's just human nature, but they're going to support him. There's no question about that. But I would have waited. That's what I was saying, Danny. I didn't, you know, say he shouldn't have played this year.
Right.
I mean, that would have been a great thing had he could have sat like Patrick Mahomes and played the last game of the year like they did in Kansas City if, you know, Andy was playing well and he didn't get hurt and they were winning. But once he gets hurt and they're not winning, and then the pressure ramps up on the front office of the Bears, they have to play this kid because that's what you guys want out there. So, like I said, they acquiesce to it. And I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to just basically try to analyze everything the kid is doing and realize that, you know, it's going to be a frustrating year. And hopefully you see just a little bit better each week. And I think they're seeing that, but it's not translating to wins right now, which makes it even that much more frustrating.
Hey, Boomer, what are you supposed to do when your main strength, your only strength offensively, has been running the ball, and now you have to play Tampa Bay? Like, I mean, you still have to go out and try to run the ball, or do you open it up from the get-go? What do?
You got to protect the quarterback, and you got to run it. You know, and I don't know what Damian Williams' status is going to be this week. I'm not really sure. Khalil Herbert had a great game against Green Bay. I'm not sure when Montgomery is. What's the story with him? I'm not up to date on that. But I will
Montgomery
say that,
at least a few more weeks. We don't know yet on Damian Williams. But yeah.
All right. So it'll be a Khalil Herbert then. You know, and like I said, he showed out last week. He played really well. And that's who the Bears are. The Bears right now are run-oriented, defensive-oriented, special teams-oriented football team while the quarterback tries to play catch-up. And, I don't think there's going to be many people across the country that are going to think that the Bears are going to win this game. And why should we? But I will say this. This Bears defense will hit Tom Brady. And I can't wait to see that because Tom Brady doesn't like to get hit. But then again, I hear a lot of that. None of us really like to get hit. And if Khalil Mack and the fellas could do what they've been doing to opposing quarterbacks and hit him, then you never know. You got to get some turnovers in a game like this, and you got to try to win it ugly. You know, this is like one of those 20-17 games. Hey, look, New England held these guys to 19 points and no touchdown passes. Now, this is going to be in Tampa's home stadium, so a little bit different than the inclement weather that they played up in New England. It's not like it can't be done. It can be done. It's just that it's going to be a tall order to ask the Bears offense in some way, shape, or form to keep pace with the Tampa Bay offense. That's really the rub in this game.
Yeah, and no one has had success running against Tampa. It's felt like for the last year and a half or so, by far the number one rush defense in the NFL. Where do you come out on, like, you need to run the ball in order for play action to be effective? Because the analytic community would say it's not necessary, but you actually played the position. How much is one tied to the other?
it certainly helps when you're successful. I can tell you that. And, you know, let me give you a case in point. So when Kevin Stefanski took over the Cleveland Browns last year, the first thing that he did is he shored up the running game and he made sure that Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb were going to get the bulk of the carries and that they were going to use those guys as the decoys in the running game and the passing game and the play-action passing game. And there's two types of play-action passing games. There's one where the guy's in the shotgun and he's faking it to the back underneath, or they're doing an RPO, that kind of play-action pass. And then there's the other one where there's the heavy run action fake where it actually sounds like a run on the line of scrimmage, so the defense reacts to it. And you saw that last night with Derrick Henry. You know, late in the game, they're play-actioning passing to him, and the Buffalo Bills linebackers are completely out of position, and he's just throwing it to, you know, A.J. Brown or Julio Jones or whoever over the top of those guys last night. So that's what an effective running game can do to a linebacking core. So that's what you're hoping that the Bears can do for Justin Fields, make it easier to hit for him to throw over the top. The other thing I will tell you guys, there's something going on here in New York where it's regards to a quarterback. So they have Daniel Jones as the quarterback of the Giants, and they were getting blown out by the Rams. He had a horrible game. I mean, he just completely regressed back to like day one as a rookie, and Joe Judge kept him in, and there's some criticism here that he kept him in for four quarters of the game. And I had to remind people here that, you know, they have to make a decision as to whether or not this guy has the guts to be the leader of an NFL football team. And he left him in there almost as punishment to make sure he felt what it was like to be embarrassed and be booed and feel that and see whether or not that kid's going to come back next week and be able to win next week's game in light of what happened against the Rams. So these are the ways that you handle your quarterbacks. These are the things that you do. And this is what you're trying to find out if this guy is the unquestioned leader of your team. And that's the evaluation that continually goes on behind the scenes in regards to the general manager and the coaches that are surrounding that particular player.
Oh, God. This is why GMs go crazy trying to figure out which guy is quarterback one, who's quarterback two in a draft in a given year, and people just bounce up and down the board and it gets chaotic. You mentioned Derrick Henry. Have you ever seen a better athlete on a football field, pure athlete on a football field than that guy? It's insane. Boom.
Bo Jackson. I saw Bo Jackson up close and personal once at Auburn when my University of Maryland Terrapins went down there to play them. And then a couple times in the pros, and of course the playoff game that we played against the Raiders in LA in which he got hurt in. You know, that guy was a freak of nature, and maybe Derrick Henry is close to him. I don't know if Derrick Henry can hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. That I don't know. So I will tell you that, yes, I've seen athletes. Eric Dickerson was this type of athlete. Marcus Allen was that type of athlete. I'm sure I'm missing a few other guys. But he is spectacular. There's no question. But he's a throwback. He's what the RB1 used to be when I played. The bell cow guy, the guy that carries the ball. And the fact that he can run 21 miles an hour and see what he does in his workouts and how he puts the work in, as Lewis Ray put it last night, was really something to behold. That kid is a humble kid. When I met him at the Heisman dinner, I just couldn't believe how quiet he was. And then when you watch the way he runs with such anger and just lowers his shoulder and looks for people to run over. It's nice to see that old-time running back can still make it in this league.
Yeah. If the first name you go to is Bo Jackson, you know, we're watching something special. What did you make of Aaron Rodgers' candid moment saying that he owns, frankly, all of us? I don't know where you come out on him.
Well, he kind of does, doesn't he? Yeah, but he kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah, 22
and
5. Really,
I mean, when a guy says something like that and the record backs it up, I mean, maybe he's taunting the fans and maybe they should have thrown a flag on him. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't really make too much out of that other than the fact that he's aware of his surroundings, and I'm sure he was being heckled, and he just wanted to remind everybody that he did own the city of Chicago and the Bears. But I wonder if that hurts State Farm sales locally. What do you think?
He's not a very popular figure, but we were talking about it. It's like you've been on the field with a lot of trash talkers, Boom. Like, scoreboard is kind of undefeated, right? Like, it's checkmate.
What were the ratings for Jeopardy when he was guest hosting in Chicago? Do you guys have any idea?
I don't. You know, we let that one fall through the cracks.
A lot of TVs broken during that time.
Listen, man, he's a Hall of Famer. And you know, quite frankly, there's not much difference between the two teams except for that position. And that will be the same. That will be the same case this week against Tampa Bay. The position of quarterback, where the points are generated from, the decisions are generated from, and hopefully the lack of turnovers are generated from. That's why it's so important in the NFL. And that's really the difference between the two teams, and has been the difference between the two teams since Brett Favre arrived back in 1992.
So, I was going to say.
All of our lives, yeah, Boomer.
You described my entire life.
I know, I know.
Quarterback starvation.
My entire life. Yeah. Thank you.
Believe me, I started it. Brett Favre's first game was against the Bengals in 1992 when Don Majkowski got hurt.
Oh, wow.
And Brett Favre came off the bench and led like an 80-yard drive at the end of the game to beat us, I think, by 2 or 3 points. I can't remember. He threw a touchdown pass. There were 4 straight plays where he hit like one on the sideline, one in the middle, one on the sideline, one in the middle. And the next thing you know, they were in the end zone and they were cheering. And then his next start was the next week against Pittsburgh Steelers and Coach Cowher. So I was there at the beginning of all that nonsense. It was because our defense knocked out Don Majkowski that he got to play.
And you're like, that young kid shouldn't see this field. Get him off the field.
I had no idea who he was. I'd be like, I had no idea who he was. But all I remember, what I remember from that game was this kid just coming in, and it seemed like there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of confusion, but there was a lot of running around, and there was a lot of big plays happening. So it was like he had the wow factor from that first day, but it was chaotic to say the league, to say the least. I think that was his second year in the league too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I love the Dilfer story about Favre, where he said it was Hasselbeck. He said they were in the room, and he was asked a question about nickel defense, and he's like, I don't know what nickel defense is. What are you talking about? He's like, it's when they take a linebacker off and put an extra corner on. He's like, oh, why didn't you just say that? Like he was a pure gunslinger. Like he just played the position.
And he loved it, and he loved every minute. And that's the other thing that you want to know, too. You want to know that Justin Fields loves it. But in today's day and age, you can't get away with what Brett Favre got away with. You have to show up, and you have to be really like a savant when it comes to your offense eventually, and you have to be the leader of the pack. And those are those expectations that Justin Fields is going to have to live up to if he wants to remain the long-term, answer for the Chicago Bears.
Boom, we'll talk to you next week. You guys have the game. It's Romo and Nance for Bears and Bucks. So we'll talk to you next Monday.
Yes. Well, looking forward to it, guys. Have a great week, all right?
Thanks,
Boomer.
That's Boomer Esiason from WFAN and CBS.
So you got to be up to speed. You got to be a film study guy. You have to be a book learner. Terry Bradshaw probably wouldn't be a quarterback in this league these days.
Different era of football. Different era. Guy won a lot. Not the brightest bulb in the box.
Still going, though.
Still doing highlights. still doing highlights for some damn reason.
Still calling people out.
Well, he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
Not about himself.
That was about
Aaron
Rodgers.
Last I checked.
That was about the Jeopardy champion. So I do want to just circle back, Terry. So you say Aaron Rodgers, dumber than a box of rocks, call their bluff, retire, all that stuff. Like,
Right.
How do you actually think this plays out?
Let me clarify the box of rocks, because that can get out.
Yeah, I tried.
Clarify the box of rocks. It's a box of very impressive rocks.
And then again at the end, Dave, I didn't say he's dumber than a box of rocks. Terry, I know. I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
How exactly do you clarify that? Once you've said it.
It can get out.
It can get out.
It's a fine pine box.
A newer type of situation with some rocks in it. Speaking of a newer situation, we got a high-profile sports figure in this town who's about to be very high-profile anyway. Let's get to know him a little bit next on The Score.
I have this vivid memory of being on the team bus, driving away from Wrigleyville to the airport, and we were just inching along, just, barely going anywhere. There's people everywhere. And all I could hear was "Go Cubs, go," over and over and over and over. And it was annoying.
Right, you're right.
That is Carter Hawkins, the new general manager of the Cubs. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. He was on with Mully and Haw earlier today. We have Hub at 4 o'clock, Joe Ostrowski in 15 minutes, and Olin Krutz reacts to Aaron Rodgers talking about him and invoking the word soft at 4:40 today.
A lot of glad-handing when Jed Hoyer had Carter Hawkins over there by Wrigley yesterday introducing him. Jed joking that he's got big shoes to fill. The last GM was real good. That was Jed. Jed was the last GM.
Yeah.
A guy talks to the media and you hear some of them, but you don't really pick up a ton of personality from him.
We have a piece of breaking news that is not good for the Chicago Bears. Kevin Fishbane. I'm sure everyone will have it. I'm sure it was a release, but I'm seeing it first from Kevin Fishbane at The Athletic. The Bears have placed Robert Quinn on the reserve COVID-19 list. Breaking news on The Score, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. They are a double-digit underdog to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their number one strength on offense is running the ball. No one is a better rush defense in the NFL. It's not even close. And the only chance you have is if your defense dominates that game and gets to Tom Brady. Robert Quinn has arguably been the Bears' best defensive player this year. If he cannot play, they are in big, big trouble. Bigger trouble than they already are, frankly. But that's a big piece of news for the Bears.
So reserve COVID list, it doesn't declare whether there has been a positive test yet. It's still
the same thing that happened with Damian Williams.
And we didn't have clarity until we got to the game.
Until
a couple days before.
They did end up saying that it was a positive test. So we do not know if this is close contact yet or if it is a positive test. But it did come out with Damian Williams relatively soon after. So we'll continue to monitor it. But
same day, I think.
Yeah. So
same show.
Okay. So yeah. So if it is close contact, all he needs is multiple negative COVID tests and he can play. If it is a positive test, there's a period of isolation before they even get into the testing portion, and it's likely that he would not be able to play. So that's the next domino to fall there, but obviously a huge piece of news. And Deion Bush was placed on injured reserve as well.
Yeah, that'll kill the idea of benching Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, and so that's 3 games minimum for Deion Bush. So tough piece of news from the Bears. I'm not trying to derail your baseball conversation, but that Robert Quinn piece is that's significant. So anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, they're going to be a big old underdog, bigger underdog than they already are.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that'll move the line. I doubt it, but just in terms of like the practicality of the matchup, right? Like specifically the Bears, their shot is to hit him and disrupt him. And their pass rush has been the best in football, and he's been the best at it. So if you remove him from the equation, they've got big, big problems.
Travis Gibson, step up. It's your moment right here to be on the other side and to play an awful lot. Or the great Mario Edwards Jr. Mario Edwards Jr., you know they signed that dude to a 3-year, $11.66 million extension in the offseason, even though they knew about that incident last year in Charlotte.
Yeah, he's a talented player.
I guess so. But they're locked in on him for a little while. So great. We get to watch more of him this weekend.
Great. All right. Well, we'll keep let's talk about Carter Hawkins. The Bears are so damn depressing, dude. They why can't it just be easy? Why can't it just be easy?
It's not.
It'll never be easy.
No, until they find somebody or until they sell the team or something. It feels...
They just got to find someone.
Very. I know, but it feels very stained with McCaskiness, with a bad, dark family dynamic that hangs over the thing.
Well,
it really does.
Sure.
Just like a familial dysfunction and a weird-ass vibe for an inbred football team. Doesn't feel good. It's never felt good.
And Boomer being like, you know, the difference between you and the Packers is not much. It's just the quarterback. Even if I don't 100% agree with that, but like, it's like, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play?
Well,
it's a pretty big difference between no quarterback and Hall of Fame quarterback.
Or like yesterday when we were having the conversation about how timelines don't match up, I feel like that has been a constant, steady situation with this franchise for as long as I can possibly remember. Whether it is on the field and one unit doesn't match up with the other unit, or whether it is GM matching up with coach or whatever, it just feels like they never have all their freaking ducks lined up in the same row. Never.
Well, because we talk so much about quarterback in like my lifetime, your lifetime, basically everyone's lifetime. And the best Bears coach of my lifetime
is Lovie Smith by a mile.
Lovie Smith by a mile.
Mm-hmm.
and like obviously had his strengths for the era of football in which he played, but not a, you would not want Lovie Smith to coach the 2021 Bears. You know what I mean? Like that you would not want that coach today.
Depends who was running the offense. I mean, what's the difference between Lovie and some of these other guys who are disciplined first and defense based? It can still work as long as the offense is running well.
Maybe he would adapt his defensive styles too, but it's not like you see a bunch of teams just playing the straight cover too. And I have a ton of respect for what Lovie Smith was able to do for that era of football.
No, you don't see just the straight cover too.
It's a different game. The game has changed a lot, and Lovie Smith, like, it's just a crazy thing to think about.
Seriously,
in 35 years, that Lovie Smith is the best quarterback of my life is Jay Cutler, and the best coach of my life is Lovie Smith. I don't know if you go to every other franchise. I would assume the vast majority of them could surpass both of those fairly easily.
Yeah, they've all had somebody, right? The Jets can say they had Namath. You know, it's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
So they can say they had Namath, Vinny Testaverde for a couple of big years.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez went to two AFC championship games.
That was in spite of Mark Sanchez.
I know. I'm listing Jets quarterbacks.
I know. Richard Todd.
Is that
what we're doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But it's bad. It's real bad. So
Cubs GM Carter Hawkins steps
Quinn
into the fray.
Our conversation.
Carter Hawkins steps into the fray and says, "Hey, look at me. I am wacky and fun and have personality. Not so much.
Well, let me
a little bit this morning.
Make me like this guy, Tanny. What do we got on Carter Hawkins?"
So yesterday, I don't know if you guys watched the presser, but it seemed like, you know, I don't want to call it uninspiring, but it was like not full of personality. I would say when your first read on Carter Hawkins, you know. I knew nothing much about the guy. It just seemed like, here's your standard issue GM guy. And I think Shane would agree. We were sharing text thoughts this morning. All of us were on the thread. And so I watched that all this morning because we didn't get to it yesterday. And then I heard him on Mullion Haw today, and I felt a little bit differently about him. You know, it's tough to judge someone on their first press conference because they're trying to make a first impression and sound smart and, you know, make you instill confidence, you know, in the hire. So it's often difficult. And I don't like grading press conferences usually.
Yeah.
But after yesterday, I was like, I don't know about this guy because there was some stuff like this.
There is no secret sauce. Everything we do has to come back to winning at the major league level. But that is a lagging indicator. The leading indicator is having great people with great processes who are disciplined in those processes, who are committed to our organization and its vision. All of those processes have to lead back to acquiring and developing players.
So they followed up a bit on that. Molly did ask a great question, and he got a pretty good answer from Carter Hawkins, who kind of made fun of that, you know, answer there, that canned answer about processes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we think of you coming from Cleveland, and obviously we think of the homegrown pitching and the way that Cleveland has produced so many great pitchers and the knowledge that that you guys have about that. And I heard you say yesterday that there was no secret sauce involved in that. And I was disappointed because I'm convinced there is secret sauce.
There is no secret sauce. And my wife, as I was walking out the hotel room this morning, she says, "Don't say processes again. You said processes way too much yesterday." I said, "Okay, I got it." If you had chosen processes on your buzzword bingo yesterday during the press conference, you would have been a big winner.
Yeah.
But that's the gist of it, though. I mean, it's being really deliberate in all of our decisions. It's being really deliberate in the plans that we have. It's taking all that information that you just mentioned, how the ball's moving, how the body's moving. You know, all those things that you mentioned are just measuring devices. And the thing that, you know, the newer age game of baseball has been able to do is measure things at a more detailed level than they ever have been before. But if you throw that all at a pitcher, you throw a lot of stuff at anybody, they get confused. And so you got to figure out how to distill it down to really simple to understand information, which is hard. You know, one of my favorite quotes of all time is, "I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time." And it's kind of similar in pitching. That's it's good. Like, hey, like, how can we get this down to something simple that we can all get behind? And when you get a lot of people behind one little thing, you can move a long way.
So at the end of the day, old Carter's just a guy after his, you know, the greatest day of his professional life yesterday, and then his wife's, you know, give him the what
getting for. Mocked by his wife
for saying processes yeah. too much. No, it's great.
We can all relate to that.
I mean, and bare bones English language. It's not how you say the word.
Yeah,
I
like to
don't
get the
wife
on
the show. Yeah, wife sounds funny.
Processes.
Yeah. It's just processes.
No, it's like saying testis between your legs.
Processes. No. Processes. Processes.
It's processes.
No,
I get it. See, here's the thing. Biggest day of his professional life, so he prepares a statement. He wants to sound as smart as possible. And then he's actually in a conversation with these dudes today. That's why they do these things. That's why they have to do these things, so you can hear them in an actual human circumstance.
Oh, human beings.
Yeah, let's see them in the wild. The problem is, and I feel you, Tanny, we've reached a level of intelligent groupthink in the business where every baseball executive can have the tendency to sound exactly like every other baseball executive. And the truth is, Cleveland's really good at taking all the different measuring things and choosing which ones to value and how to communicate it to people. So if he can help do that, then that's great. And in the margins, he can help the Cubs be better at that kind of stuff.
That will be how he is judged.
For sure.
Right? Player development. Can they have some homegrown pitching?
Yep.
Can he bring the best of Cleveland to here? But I really enjoyed the conversation with Mullinhaw today.
Yeah.
He came across as likable, right?
That's
whether
a win.
That matters, I have no idea. But he said, I got to go have some beers with Jed Hoyer.
Well, yeah.
Good.
And he's going to be the guy who's out front having to answer all this stuff. He's going to be the development guy while Jed is the transaction guy, is how that's going to end up being broken down.
Okay. Well, that's Carter Hawkins. And do we have time for one more, or we got Joe? I don't
even
know.
Yeah, this was the big question, I think, that all Cubs fans want to know, and David asked.
Carter, I think you come into a situation where there's urgency, not only next season, but every season. And there should be. This in Chicago, it's a big market. And people like us are holding Tom Ricketts accountable to behave like a big market team should. So in that context, when you look at the task in this offseason, what's your understanding about how aggressive the Cubs plan to be in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm at day one now. Yesterday was day zero, so still trying to get an understanding of where we are and you know, where we want to go with our offseason plan this year and offseason plans, you know, in future years. You know, that word urgency, I totally agree with you. And aggressiveness, you know, I totally agree with you. You know, I think, you know, that's something that it was clear to me from day one in the process through these interviews is that, you know, people here are aggressive in trying to bring winning baseball to Chicago as often and as quickly as possible. You know, sometimes those decisions on the surface don't seem that way, but they all have that underlying understanding of, like, this is so that we can win our next World Series as quickly as we can. And I think that we'll think through our free agency process in the same way this offseason.
Process.
You know, Jeff talked about in his offseason presser about spending intelligently. And, you know, I think, you know, as painful as that is to hear for, you know, fans that want to say we're going to spend unintelligently and spend, you know, free willy, you know, it's something that we have to do because we know that those are the decisions that help us to best put ourselves in position to bring those unbelievable moments to Chicago over and over again.
It does not make sense in terms of the state of baseball to go backwards for a long time and make this a long process. Doesn't make sense for their economic model to go backwards for a long time, nor for the state of the roster, frankly. So, yeah, they're going to be aggressive. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for them.
We'll check in with Joe O before Hub Arkish. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Joseph, come on!
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
So, Ostrowski?
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Joe Ostrowski with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Our conversation with Joe O brought to you by PointsBet. He hosts BetQL Daily. You can hear it and stream it on the Odyssey app. Joe, what are the gambling markets saying for Bears and Bucks?
Bears and Bucks, well, the Bears are a big underdog. The number's 12.5. I did see it get up to 13.5 yesterday. The total for the game is 47. And over the last couple of weeks, the public has crushed the books. At the noon games on Sunday, the favorites went 7-0 against the spread. So, Danny, you know what that means. The books are looking for some revenge, so all of these big favorites, like the Bucks, these numbers are extremely inflated. The look-ahead line on this game was 10 before Sunday's games. So now it goes up to 12.5. It was 13.5. Maybe we'll go back there. As far as the total, the Bears have gone way under the total their last five games. 35 points per game
over the last five games. And again, that total sitting at 47. So I understand why people would want to bet under, but you have to worry about Tom Brady, of course.
Is there, with this, what is now being reported as a positive COVID test for Robert Quinn?
So he needs two negative COVID tests at least 24 hours apart, as long as he is asymptomatic because he is vaccinated. I was just rereading the COVID protocol. So it is still possible for him to play, but it's two negative tests, after testing positive 24 hours apart with no symptoms.
Does a defensive player's action, does that affect the line this far out?
Not usually. Now, late last week, we did see an adjustment. It was 4.5 much of the week, and then it went up to 6. But that was when it was questionable in the injury report. Hicks and Mac were both out on there, so we didn't know if they were going to play. If it's a couple of players on defense, impactful players, it can adjust it by half a point, maybe a point. Just Robert Quinn, I'd say no.
I wonder, not that I'm a betting man on baseball, Joe. I don't. Yes. It's legendary that I don't. But if I were to bet on the Dodgers to come back and win this series, which I happen to think they will, what kind of odds can you get for a team down 0-2?
I agree with you. And right now you can get the Dodgers plus 150, plus 160, bet 100, win 150, win 160. Right now the Braves are heavy favorites to win the series at minus 180. The Braves are the favorite to win the World Series. They're the favorite over Boston.
Wow.
At plus 200. I mean, this game coming up here this afternoon, thank you, baseball. Yeah, you would think this is going to be all Dodgers. They're heavy favorites, but if you want to play the run line where you're betting on the Dodgers to win by two runs, it wouldn't surprise me. Last 15 home games, Spiegs, we're going back to August 30th. Dodgers have won 14 of their last 15 home games. They're missing Max Muncy, Justin Turner in the lineup. They're saying he's good enough to go, but you got to think Dodgers win this one.
The Bulls season tips off tomorrow night. Their win total keeps increasing, Joe. What do you got for us here?
All right. You Bulls fans won't stop betting it. Here we go. The over money, 63% on the over. So before they started making these moves, it was in the high 30s. Now we're at 42.5. Some books have it up to 43.5. Central Division, Bulls are 9-1. The most popular bet is the Bulls, not the Bucks. It's the Bulls. 69% of the bets are on the Bulls, 66% of the money on the Bulls. Eastern Conference, the Bulls are 30-1. What's the most popular bet in the East, guys?
The Bulls.
27% of the bets are on the Bulls. 24% of the money is on the Bulls. National title. Bulls are 70-1. The second most popular bet, only behind the Lakers, is the Bulls.
Wow.
20% of the bets on the Bulls. 18% of the money on the Bulls.
That is amazing. It doesn't take much to get a fan base excited. They are going to be fun. I think they're going to be a lot of fun, Joe, and I'm looking forward to the return of my precious first basket bets.
Oh, beautiful! Yeah, you're good after a couple of minutes. I guess Billy Donovan, that stands out. He's the fifth favorite for the coach of the year at 12-1, only behind Nash Spoelstra, Quinn Snyder, and Steve Kerr.
Joe O, host of BetQL Daily, his appearances on this show brought to you by PointsBet. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, fellas.
Hub Arkish called Aaron Rodgers a D-bag. And now he has watched all the film of Justin Fields against the Packers. Is he progressing to Hub's liking? We discuss next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.